Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I'm Corey Fleck, along with Shad Marquitz. We are your hosts for this weekend show. Just a note to everybody listening through their podcast app, we are still working through some of those distribution issues, but we are starting to just post kind of the old way we used to, just so everybody can get up to speed with the podcast by keeping up there. Again, if you're missing anything on the podcast apps, just visit our website, kereport.com. That's where you can always get all of our daily editorials and weekend show. On this weekend show, it's still going to be recapping what the markets are doing over this generally slower summer session. However, it has been encouraging over the last month to two, this general rebound that we have seen. We're kicking off the show with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago, also editor of the Lyons Share Pro website, which we will post a link to. Dana, let's start with U.S. equity markets. As I said, it's been about a two-month rebound here. We have the NASDAQ that's rebounded a little over 20% in just under 2 months. The S&P, Dow, everything really has rebounded over this last month to two. Dana, do you think this is still nothing more than a bear market rally? Or, hey, could we actually be in a new upleg, a new bull market?
No, our view is still it's a bear market rally, albeit a pretty strong run. But you look at cyclical bear markets in the past, you've seen substantial bear market rallies along the way. So I think that's still what we're in. Nothing has transpired that would change our read of it or our analysis or the data. Nothing has changed to suggest otherwise. But I would say the last few times we've spoken, our intermediate term risk model was still on a sell signal, which was very alarming to us, given the fact that equities had rallied for, you know, a month or 5 weeks or so. That has been cleared. So we did over the last about a week ago or so, did get a buy signal on that. So that for us doesn't mean that we've got an all clear signal to go back to the highs or that we're in a new bull market. But it does give us some cover to get a little bit longer to expect at least that we're not immediately going to collapse again. But it doesn't change the longer term view of ours that we're still in a bear market, where this is a bear market bounce. Our playbook right now is more or less off of the charts, technical trading, keyword being trade, nothing. We don't see anything that's quote unquote investable right now. So we'll be trading off of the charts, not super aggressive. No need to chase stuff higher. Look for your spots. And, you know, buy the dips, but don't forget to take some profits into rallies, because we are getting a little bit, you know, long in the tooth in terms of this bear market rally and from a historical basis as well. You know, typically you don't see a lot more than that 50% retracement from the decline within a cyclical bear market rally. So I would say you can be long, but again, it's a trade, it's a rental. Don't expect, you know, an all clear signal and back to the highs or anything like that.
Well, Dana, really the theme the last couple of times we talked to you in the markets has been counter trend moves. You know, things that have been pulling back for 6 to 8 months started bouncing. Things that had been rallying for 6 to 8 months started pulling back. You're looking a lot at the charts and the technicals. I know you use quantitative analysis. You look at breadth indicators, sentiment indicators. What will be the main signal for you that these counter trend moves are going to be reversing to their primary trends?
Well, right now, like I said, we're going to be playing the technicals, you know, playing the charts. So that'll give you a heads up before many of the other metrics, many of the other signals will necessarily, especially at the top of the move. You know, you're probably not going to see any sort of negative divergences play out until you know, after we've potentially topped out. So right now for us, it'll be all off the charts, technicals, Fibonacci retracements, some moving averages, things like that. One other sign to keep an eye on is the fact that, you know, a lot of this move and a lot of the reason, approximate cause for us, you know, the equity market stopped that it stopped going down was the fact that people finally adopted hedges and stopped buying the dip and started, you know, hedging themselves, whether it was with in the options market, the ETFs, the inverse ETFs. People were substantially, especially the smaller retail investors, got substantially hedged at the lows in June and have just started to peel off some of those hedges. So I think that's another thing to watch for if we do see those hedges start coming off in a more furious manner. Then that will obviously leave the market a lot more susceptible to kind of rolling over again and kind of putting an end to this bear market rally. But absent that, we'll be certainly watching, for the most part, technicals and charting techniques and that type of thing.
Dana, are there any sectors within the broad averages that have stood out to you in terms of outperformance to the upside? I mentioned the NASDAQ, but you could also make the argument that the NASDAQ sold off the most during the pullback and bear market. Any sectors that you're closely watching?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. You know, in a nasty sell-off, the things that get hit the worst are going to be the ones that bounce the most. So that's what we've seen. Technology, consumer discretionary, those have had the biggest bounces, and that's to be expected. So if it was different, if some of those more defensive names had bounced back quicker, then that would have tipped you off that, okay, there's some real relative strength there. There's maybe some longer lasting, more sustainable relative strength there, maybe for new moves to new highs, that type of thing. We're not seeing that. We're seeing exactly what you expect to see. Like you mentioned, the sectors that got hit the hardest are bouncing back the most. But in terms of how much they've retraced of their original declines, it's not out of the ordinary. So you're not seeing necessarily any true relative strength out of those sectors. All you're seeing is more or less mean reversion and those things, like you mentioned, that got stretched the most to the downside are bouncing back the most right now.
Well, Dana, I know you tune out a lot of the macroeconomic news coming out of the Fed, the interest rates and what's going on, but there has been some interesting moves in the bond markets with interest rates and also in the currencies with the U.S. dollar. Love to get your thoughts on bonds and the dollar.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you mentioned, just like the stock market, bonds and the dollar have been in counter trend moves. So we are long term bond bears. We think interest rates are going up for decades to come. Right now, we're in a shorter or intermediate term pullback in yield. So we're actually long bonds, treasury bonds right now. We think there is downside in the 10-year to about 230. Potentially. So that's where we'd be looking to sell and actually flip to aggressively start shorting bonds again. So same thing with the dollar. You know, dollar's obviously been going up for, or did rally for the most part, actually almost for a year and a half or so. But early part of the year, the last month or so obviously has been coming in, but the same, we view it as the same as the other assets that we've talked about. You know, this is just a counter trend move. I think the longer term picture is up for the dollar. Any pullbacks is an opportunity to buy the dips. So the question is where. So we did add some exposure to the dollar today, some more exposure around 104.5. If we pull back more towards that 101, 101.5 level, we'll add some more exposure to it. So again, nothing in the longer term has changed in terms of the technical picture for these asset classes. This is more or less a counter trend move in the dollar and most of the asset classes.
So Dana, what's your takeaway from the precious metals then? Let's talk about gold or the gold miners. There's been a lot of negative news about some of the gold miners because of their costs going up. Q2, definitely a tough quarter for them. But in all fairness, the gold miners, gold stocks, gold in general, also is getting a bounce from a bit more of a risk-on attitude, I guess, or at least investors putting more money at work. What's your takeaway from the setup in gold?
Yeah, it's like the same thing that we've talked about. We've been, we are longer term bullish on the precious metals complex. We think after this little digestion that we've been seeing over the last Well, call it almost 2 years in precious metals. We think it does eventually resolve higher. You got to remember we did rally strongly for about 4 years. So after this digestion is over, I think gold breaks out, silver runs higher, and we do put in a new up leg. The question again is, from what levels does this happen? And as we spoke, I think last time I was on, looking at GLD, because we trade ETFs for our clients, our line in the sand was basically around that 158.5 level. And we did indeed stop right about there in mid-July. So it's nice to see that prices are respecting the levels that they're quote unquote supposed to. So we've got a nice bounce off of there. Certainly approaching some obstacles here in the low 170s in terms of GLD. After, you know, consolidating for the last 2 years, nothing's going to be a straight line. You've got some resistance, some challenges to work through. But so far, so good. We held the levels that we're supposed to on GLD. And then the same thing with SLV, down around 17.5. Now it's about, starting to chip away, chisel away at some of those resistance levels before, you know, attempting a breakout. And the same thing goes for the gold and silver miners. You know, we've had, you know, the technical picture is not as strong as it is perhaps for gold and silver. We only got a minor retracement in that rally to 2020, well off of those highs that we saw back in the early part of last decade. But in terms of the timing, the cycle timing has been about the same. So GDX, for example, did hold where it had to around that 25, 25.5 level, get a bounce up probably towards the 29, 29.5 level, be your first obstacle spot to take some profits there. But like gold and silver, it's going to have some work to do. It's work cut out after a couple of years of consolidation to work through that all that price consolidation, that price distribution, and set itself up for potentially a breakout new highs.
Yeah, it's nice to see the bounce in the precious metals. And to your point, after having such a big run for a couple of years, it was natural to see a corrective move. And now they're starting to build a little base and at least respect the technical support levels. What about the energy sector, Dana? We've seen kind of a bifurcation between oil and nat gas. Oil is probably the primary driver. Do you have any thoughts on oil or oil stocks?
Yeah, energy stocks we're out of right now. We think oil is in a countertrend pullback, so oil does not look that technically strong to us. So we've been out of oil for a bit now, bought some energy stocks maybe a month ago or so for a trade. We're out of those now. So right now, nothing is really enticing us as far as the energy complex goes, or more or less, again, in a countertrend move lower, waiting for better spots, better opportunity from a risk-reward standpoint to get back long that sector. So we're not close yet. We're going to be patient, waiting for that to happen.
So, Dana, what about just commodities broadly? Because we have seen a nice rebound in commodities, again, just like everything else. But commodities did have a nice run-up earlier. I believe it was last year more than anything. And then they have all pulled back, being pulled down by the bear market. Do you have a general outlook for commodities, and even more so comparing commodity prices to financial assets? We keep hearing just how undervalued commodities are compared to financial assets. Do you see that continuing?
Yeah, I don't necessarily. We don't really look at things through that prism. We treat everything on its own merits, and the commodities are in the same boat as most of the other assets that we've been talking about. You know, I think longer term we're in a bull market in commodities. Right now, in the intermediate term, the momentum is down. We think probably we'll hit even another leg lower here in commodities in general before maybe trying to put in a longer term bottom. So right now, again, as we're in this counter trend move lower, we're in kind of a sell the rip mode as when it comes to most of the commodities. So right now we're patient. We think, there's lower lows to come in most commodities. And we just assume wait for, you know, a better risk reward before trying to, you know, buy the dip or pick a bottom there.
Well, Dana, in light of almost every sector we talk about kind of being in that counter trend move where it's reversed what the primary trend was, is there a point where you're going to be positioning in these, I guess, for a longer period of time when you think all of those trends reverse? Or would you just consider this just to be a trader's market from here on out?
No, we'll look for, you know, major you know, longer term technical levels or key junctures, again, from a longer term perspective, to pick our spots and trying to pick one of those, some of those cyclical moves. So it's all a matter of duration. Right now, like we mentioned, most of the asset classes are in counter trend moves. But if you scroll out, look at the bigger picture over the last several years or so, you're still in the trends are pretty clearly defined still on an equity in the equity market. We think the trend is still lower, commodities still higher, bonds. We think interest rates again go higher for many years to come. Dollar is still up, but from a shorter term durational perspective, you know, the counter trend moves are what we are trading right now. So right now we're cautious, kind of trading against that longer term wave, but certainly waiting for our spots at more substantial, longer term zoomed out levels before trying to pick those spots where, you know, that longer term trend does again re-engage, and we see assets see those longer term trends kind of reassert themselves. So we don't think that we're there yet or even close necessarily, waiting for kind of things to play out and kind of in that trading mentality, like you mentioned. But there will be a point where, okay, we're going to take some, you know, bigger bets and some longer term bets. We're just not there yet.
Dana, are you paying any attention to volume, or how does volume, especially when it's lower volume, like we're seeing over summer, play into your models and also impact your general strategy in terms of how aggressive you will be?
Yeah, volume plays very little part in our models. We don't think we've, and it's not for a lack of looking, we've dissected volume a million different ways. We have never found that much utility out of it, except when it comes to, you know, a skew versus upside and downside. Volumes could be good short-term markers or short-term signs of short-term junctures. But in terms of, okay, is volume low or is volume overall volume high? A couple things. It's always higher during sell-offs. It's always higher, you know, when the market is crashing, because it's a very emotional event. And it's always lower when we're bouncing. The other thing is, it's August right now. It's always lower in the summer. So there are a couple trends right now working against volume. I don't think that it's necessarily a signal by any means, the lower volume that we've been seeing. I think it's to be expected. Perhaps it would be a signal for seeing huge volume on the upside. It would be something to certainly take note of if it was going against expectations. You look at something like, I've seen comparisons between now and 1982, which I think is probably the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. But you look at the volume off that 1982 bottom in stocks, volume was through the roof on the upside, which is very unusual. We're not seeing anything like that. So we're seeing what is to be expected, which is high volume on sell-offs and then low volumes into bounces. So we're not seeing really any signal that would move the needle as far as our model is concerned.
So how are you comparing this current market to markets in the past? You said it's not like the 80s. What is this market reminiscent of?
No, I think it's a cyclical bear market that began late last year or early this year. So we expect, again, some substantial bear market rallies like we're seeing now. But eventually we think there's a lot of excesses in the system that still need to be wrung out that have existed, you know, for the last decade, or, you know, in some cases since, you know, the 2000 top even. So I think those have to be wrung out. And I think you're going to see that play out, you know, over the next decade or so, you know, not in a straight line, but I think you're going to see that play out in terms of a cyclical bear market or even a secular bear market. So that would be our guide as far as a historical comparison right now. I think any attempts at, you know, kind of comparing this to an early portion of a long-term bull market is pretty folly. As far as we're concerned, I don't think there's any necessarily apt comparison to make such a statement as far as we're concerned. I think we're just off of the highs as far as many longer term metrics are concerned. So if you look at that 1982 bottom, for example, we're coming off all-time low investment, household investment into the stock market. It was about 8 or 9% of household investments were in the stock market. That was by far the lowest we've ever seen over the last, you know, since in the history of the data going back 70, 80 years. Right now, the all-time high was, you know, in the fourth quarter of last year, you know, right at the top of the market. So we're just an inch off of the all-time high. So the comparisons, again, are to an early stage bull market, I think, are way off base.
Okay. Dana, as always, it's great chatting with you. Thanks for sharing what your models are telling you. And quite frankly, you've been one of our most accurate forecasters of the markets over the last couple of years when they were going up and even now when they're correcting. So I really do appreciate all of your insights, and I really do take note of how you are viewing these markets. Thank you again for your time, Dana. Hope you have a great rest of your weekend. We'll chat in another couple of weeks. Everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.